You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
Notice Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at one verse of scripture to pull our main text tonight and our theme for 2025. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, notice what Paul says to the church. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, being knowledgeable that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, church, saints, be steadfast. It's going to take it this year. Be immovable. Always abounding. Being fruitful in the work of the Lord. Knowing, being knowledgeable that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One word that is synonymous are the same with being steadfast, being immovable, and always abounding is the word dogged. It is to be dogged. And so based upon that on tonight, notice Paul writes to the brethren of the church, God's desire is that they will be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding. That word tonight is synonymous with the word dogged. And so our subject for tonight and our theme for 2025 is a dogged church. A dogged church. We're going to need to be dogged this upcoming year. We're going to need to close out this year with a dogged mindset. And come on, let's give God a praise for our subject and our theme. Come on, let's show him we're excited about it. A dogged church. It's time to be dogged. I love the theme. I love the subject tonight. A dogged church. Notice that Paul starts the 58th verse with the word therefore. Therefore expresses a conclusion that Paul has drawn or based upon the truth. Again, the word therefore draws or expresses a conclusion that is based upon truth. When Paul uses the word therefore, Paul, again, his conclusion is that of wanting the saints to recognize that since we are victorious in the Lord, be steadfast. Knowing that we have the victory, be immovable. Knowing that you're victorious, always abound in the work of the Lord. Notice when you look back at verse 57, this will show you as well as other verses in chapter 15, that again, his conclusion was one of, since we then have the victory, we need to come into or maintain a certain attitude. Let me work with it tonight. Notice verse 57, Paul backs up and he said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Christ deals with the anointed one. Notice that Paul said we need to be thankful to God who gives us the victory. See, the reason we know we have the victory is because of our faith in Jesus the Christ. And if you have put your faith in Jesus and you did not move it out of him for no reason, despite what you went through, then even this year, you experience victory after victory. Because, see, it really doesn't matter what God permits, come on, church, or allows his people to go through. At the end, we always come out victorious. Oh, yeah, that's the reason when it comes to mature saints, we are never moved by trouble. We are never moved by trials that God permits us to go through. Because we always know the ending at the beginning. And that is that I have the victory. Come on, somebody. I'm not waiting to praise God for victory that might come. Let me preach to you tonight. I'm giving God praise tonight because of the victory that has already come. How many things did he bring you through this year where you wouldn't have came out of it had it not been for the Lord, preach pastor, being on your side? Come on, even some folk looked at things we went through this year and thought for sure that it would take us out. But it only brought victory. Am I talking to you? I said it only brought victory. Notice, keeping your finger right there. Keep your finger there and turn over a couple of pages. Remember, Paul's conclusion was that seeing that we have the victory, we need to come into something. We need to maintain a certain attitude. But notice 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, you're just skipping over a few pages, and notice verse 14. Notice something. Now remember in verse 57, Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Did y'all catch that? Who gives us what? The victory. Now, if God is pleased to give you the victory, let me ask you something tonight. Who can stop him? Who can stop him? If he looks at you and he's pleased to give you the victory with things you're dealing with in your house, who can stop him? Who can stop him? If he's pleased to give you the victory in your finances, who can stop him? Y'all, like, I said, who can stop him? Nobody. So victory is what? Guaranteed. Notice 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Somebody, we got to get some word in us tonight. Now, thanks be to God. Notice, same wording. Do y'all see that? Same wording. Now, thanks be to God. Notice the change right here. Who always leads us in triumph in Christ. In Christ. Remember, Christ deals with the anointed one or the anointing. Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph in Christ, or according to the anointing. See, God anoints us for victory. See, what we got to recognize is that you have been anointed to get the victory. Victory is yours because you are anointed to get the victory. No matter what you go through this year, you are anointed to get the victory. That ought to cause somebody to give God praise tonight. You are anointed for victory. Did you hear me? You are anointed for victory. God has empowered you to win. He's empowered me to win. And for those who hate that I'm winning, I feel for you. Because again, I've been empowered to win. I am anointed to come out better than how I went in. Somebody ain't getting it. I got to move on, but you ain't getting it. I said he has anointed you for the victory. The anointing doesn't just come to make us shout. The anointing doesn't just come to make us speak in other tongues. I love shouting and dancing. I love speaking in other tongues. But I am anointed for victory. I'm anointed for victory. Let me say it another way. I'm anointed to slay demons. I'm anointed to do spiritual warfare. I'm anointed for it. Some of you acting like you ain't anointed for the victory. God has put his anointing on his people with a purpose. God ain't anointed you to lose. Even when it looks like we're losing. Oh, let me preach. I said, even when it looks like we are losing, he just doing for us what he did for Job. He just allowing us to go through a whole lot just to turn around and give you double in the end. He just wants to give you double for all your... Somebody know it tonight. But remember, it's through Jesus. Remember, it's through Jesus. 1 John 5:4 said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, our victory comes through faith. That's the reason, church, we have to be dogged in living or walking by faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Sight representing senses. See, we have to leave the walking by senses, the walking by sight, to our unsaved kinfolk. Let them walk by what they see. But I've been ordained to walk by something much different. Oh, you didn't get mad because I talked about your kinfolk, did you? Let your uncle walk by common sense. But you walk in something greater than common sense. See, I want to walk on a higher level than that which is common to most men. Why does he talk the way he talks? Oh, he's a faith walker. Why does she act like that? Oh, I didn't tell you. That girl is a faith walker. Leave the common sense up to those who are okay living by that. But living by common sense didn't get me to where I am. I got to where I am living by faith. Is that how you got to where you at? Because common sense couldn't help me out. Oh, I said common sense couldn't help me out of certain situations that I created. Common sense, when I was broke, did me no good. I'm preaching hard. Common sense, when I was broke, busted, and disgusted, did me no good. But what helped me was Luke 6:38. Give. Give. I thought I'd get at least 24. Give. And it shall be given. Good. Press. Shaking. And running. 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 Common sense didn't make it run over. It took something that came from God but made no sense. When you are broke, it makes no sense to the natural man to give in order to come out. When you're needing, that makes no sense to say give in order to receive. See, that's living by faith. That's living by what? Faith. That's living by what? To be dogged is also to be determined. To be determined. To be dogged is also to be relentless. Let me say this to the church that I pastor. Some of us have no problem getting on the right path or doing the right thing. We just have a problem sticking with it. See, that's an old country word for dogged, for determination. Stick with it. God put many of us on the right path, but we didn't come on, we didn't stick with it. You prayed, he answered. You started moving, but you didn't stick with it. That's how we used to say it growing up. When we know somebody was doing the right thing and they needed to keep doing the right thing, we would just say, man, stick with it. That meant don't quit, don't give up, don't give out. Stick with it. Some of us, that's our problem. We can get on the right path, but we can't stick with it. I got to move on. How many times have we started eating right? Woo! Some of y'all were meal prepping and everything. See, don't get mad. You shouldn't have sent folk the pictures of it. Then I wouldn't have known you were meal prepping. But see, you sending out all the cute pictures. Talking about how meal prepping was doing this, that, and the other. But you didn't stick. Bragged on that treadmill. Y'all know how we do. It inclining everything. Girl, no, it don't. Yet you can go. I can make it go up, and I can even walk like I'm going down a hill. Got a place for my juice cup. Come on. Started walking, but didn't stay. I got to move quick. Then what? Pastor, I'm done with him. He ain't the one no how. Amen, sister. Glad you finally seen me. We've been trying to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. Oh, enough said, Pastor. Again, like I said, he ain't the one. Ah, but you didn't stick with it. See, that sticking with it is something. Come on, somebody know it right now. That sticking with it is something. On the right path, doing the right thing, I just got to stick with it. Notice what the word of the Lord says, because I want to deal quickly with one antonym or one opposite of being dogged or sticking with it. Notice the book of Hebrews on tonight. Notice the book of Hebrews on tonight. One antonym of being dogged, or what we deem tonight, sticking with it. Some of you already know, God, you talking to me tonight. Because I know you told me what to do, Lord. I just didn't stick. Some of us were dealing with enemies. We were dealing with haters and people that were against us. And sometimes God just told somebody, just be still. Just be still. Don't say nothing to her. Don't bother them. Just be still and watch me work this out. For a while, you left them alone and just showed them love and held your peace. Even though you had a whole lot to say. But you didn't stick with it. you blew up and gave them what the old folk call a piece of your mind because you didn't stick with it. It takes something to stick with it. Come on, especially in a time, I want to talk to those what they deem them millenniums or these folks in their 30s and younger. Oh, sticking with it is just not what these young folk like to hear. Oh, y'all getting upset with me now. This reason so many marriages dissolve within the first 3 to 5 years of it because young folk don't want to stick with it. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Young people nowadays, if something ain't working out, it ain't going right. And of course, you can see this spirit on old folk too. It ain't just that it can't get on them. But especially with our young folk, there is no ability to endure anything. If we don't like something, we quit. If it don't go our way, we walk out. We try something else. And it's so popular now to quit and just dust your feet and just try something else. But that doesn't always work in God. There'll be things God know you don't like. He know you tired of putting up with it. But his word is, stick with it. See, that's mean that. See, a lot of folk didn't like that. You came for a word to tell you to get out. You didn't want to hear stick with it. Hebrews 6. Yeah, that word just hit somebody. You like, this what I came for? You looking for confirmation to quit. Me and Donna about to hit 30 years of marriage. Now, all 30 years ain't been good. Why y'all clapping? That's why you're clapping, because we stuck and because we're going to keep. That's what makes a good marriage, sticking with it. Well, Pastor, I'm tired of him doing this, didn't did this. He was doing this, didn't this when you were dating him. Stick with it. Folk change churches like I don't know what. Hopping from one church to the other. Can't what? Stick with it. At this church, somebody make a mat, gone. So I tell folk that leave churches because they mad, don't come here. Because the main one going to make you mad here, sooner or later, is the preacher tonight. I'm coming. Oh, no, you need to turn around and go back. Hebrews 6 and 11. Because God's word comes sometimes, and they do what the old folks say, is step on our toes. Notice this. Notice Hebrews 6. And 11. Notice what the Hebrew writer said. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until what? The end. We desire that each one of you show what? The same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Let me tell you something. If we all in the same church and we're all connected the way we need to be connected, then it shouldn't be this coming year that a few of us are going to be dogged. Doggedness should be seen or should cover the entire church this year. Oh, come on. Y'all got quiet then. Because notice that Paul says, and we desire that each one of you show the same what? Diligence. Now, I could easily say the same doggedness. See, it's not enough for the pastor to be dogged. He has to have leaders who are dogged as well. It's not enough that you know pastor don't stick with it. The pastor needs to be able to look out in the congregation and know that there are many others who likewise are going to stick with it. You don't have to wonder if pastor is going to be here or not. You know I'm going to be here when I am supposed to be here. Now, our diligence will not always be on the same level. It depends on God's purpose for our lives. I don't expect your doggedness to be on the same level as mine in reference to certain things. Why? Because you are not on that level. But yet you still need to have diligence or doggedness. You have to. We have to be dogged this year, church, in loving one another, even when we are upset with one another. We need to quit falling out so easily with one another and show that same diligence that when something does happen, well, y'all at church, and it will. I say, and it will. But that we get things right immediately. Listen at them claps. See, because some of us, we only want to be dogged in certain things. But see, we have to love one another as Christ told us to love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Church, we got to love one another. At the house, you have to love one another. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that. See, we got to show what? The same diligence. The same diligence. What? The same what? Diligence. But notice what we're coming to in verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. That you do not become what? Sluggish. See, the antithesis of being dogged is to be sluggish. I need to deal with this. Because the reason folk don't stick with it is because they become sluggish. Come on, do y'all see it? You got to see the word tonight. Verse 12, that you do not become what? Sluggish. Nobody gets saved and get saved being sluggish. Come on. Come on, you ain't been saved all your life. You remember getting saved. You gonna try to convince me that you started off sluggish? No. When folk get saved, when their lives get changed for the better, they start out on what we used to call being on fire. Being on fire for God. Ready to do whatever the Lord will is for you to do. Oh, I said the way some of y'all know it. Ready to run on and see what the end. Y'all remember that? Remember the old saying, you satisfy? In the end, they just say, I'm ready. I'm going to keep running on and just see what the end going to be. And then they'll say to the folks, sit down, because something on in the end is waiting on me. Praise the Lord, saints. But look, Paul said that you do not become sluggish. That's something we have to be made aware of. As far as being a dogged church. Beware that you do not become what? Sluggish. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to be sluggish. Listen, one definition of sluggish, of being sluggish, is lagging in diligence. When you're sluggish, you're lagging in diligence. Notice that he gives the answer for not becoming sluggish. He gives one answer, I should say. Y'all hanging here tonight. That you do not become what? Sluggish. But watch the Hebrew writer. But imitate those who through faith and patience, endurance, perseverance, doggedness, inherit Notice that plural word, the promises. If I don't want to become sluggish, then I gotta imitate the right people. I got to keep my eye, yes, on Jesus, but also on the right people. Don't become sluggish just because so-and-so becomes sluggish. This is the reason even in church, you have to be careful who you connect with. You can't be so tight with anybody that if you're being dogged and they become sluggish, you feel you have to be like your friend. Come on. It's sometimes necessary to remain dogged even if your spouse becomes sluggish. Oh, yeah, this good teaching tonight. It's good teaching tonight. Notice, we better be careful tonight that you do not become what? Sluggish. Become what? Sluggish. But imitate those, watch, got to imitate the right people, who through faith, we talked about faith earlier, and patience, inherit the promises. Four definitions of imitate. Number one, you have to know how to pattern yourself after the right person. You know what's wrong with a lot of men in our day and time? They don't have the right pattern. Come on. Come on, church. And a lot of men, sadly, did not grow up with it at home. No, no, they didn't. And so God has to send them somewhere and set before them the right pattern. Come on. But see, when God does it, brother, you don't need to fight what God is doing by saying, well, the pastor is a man like I'm a man. He put on his pants one leg at a time like I. Yeah, all that may be true. But a good pastor is more than that. He is a pattern. Oh. Not of my own doing, but I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding. Paul told the church, he said, imitate me as I imitate who? Christ. If pastor is imitating Christ, then you pattern yourself after pastor. But if pastor stops imitating Christ, he's not my pattern. He's not my pattern. Now, it's not limited to pastor. Remember what I said? All of us got to show the same what? Diligence. See, it's a pattern. Number two, you have to know who to emulate. God will put you in a good church and he'll tell you sometimes, watch how so-and-so does such and such. See, a lot of learning can be achieved, listen to me, through observation. So ain't telling you got to go up and tell somebody all your business. No, you don't. Sometimes all you got to do is sit back and just observe. Number three, to imitate is to be like. To be like. Now we ain't making unjust comparisons. Because some people think they're smarter than the teacher. No, we're not saying that you need to make unjust comparisons. Come on. You don't need to go home telling nobody that they need to be like somebody. No, you let God deal with that. Let God deal. Well, you need to be more like so and so. No. That ain't for you to decide. Come on, it's good teaching tonight. But certainly, we all need to be like someone. Did you hear me? Someone. Yes, Jesus. Y'all don't remember back in the day growing up how it just stirred us up to be like Mike? Some of you went years trying to be like Mike. You couldn't even touch the rim. Didn't stop you from buying every Jordan shoe that they came out with. Because you bought into being like Mike. Come on, brother. Don't get mad at me, brother. Now, don't shut down. You were 5'4". And you bought into being like Mike. See, this is uncomfortable for somebody. Because the truth is, if we would be willing to admit it, in a lot of ways, how we got on the wrong path is trying to be like somebody that we had no business trying to be like. You know what caused some wives to become hostile towards their husband, toward the vision of the house? Hanging with other women, trying to be like. See, there's a reason she's single. Not all. There's a reason she's been married 3-4 times. You don't want to be like her. But if you're going to be a good wife, you need a pattern according to Titus. Let the older women teach the younger women. You can't come in with a mindset that you can't be taught nothing. Woo! And don't think tonight that you're too old to learn. Don't give me that. You can't teach a dog new trick. I didn't know you was a dog. Some folks are fighting the word tonight, but it's for you tonight. You don't get to the point where you think you can't be taught. Part of many of our problem is that we are not imitating the right patterns. Finally, it comes from this word that we used to use, and we use it in a negative term. Growing up, when we saw somebody trying to be like somebody, we hit them with, accuse them of being a copycat. Y'all. See, some folk my age remember that word. We throw that word around real. Oh, you're a copycat. What we were saying, well, you just trying to do what he do. And you just doing it because he do it. See, it's bigger than that in the church. I'm doing it because he do it, and I see him do it, and I see it work. He's working the word. It has changed his life. My life need changing. Call me whatever you want to call me. I'm going to imitate him. I'm going to imitate her. I got to move on, but that word is right. If you're not going to become sluggish, you have to be dogged at imitating the right pattern. Remember what I said earlier? And when you start, stick. Somebody shout, stick with it. Proverbs 18. I'm almost sitting that close. Proverbs 18. Oh, Lord. Yeah, you have to imitate the right person. Drop your pride. Come on. Get the help that you need. Get the help that you need. Drop your what? Pride. Get the help that you what? Need. I don't think there's anybody in here tonight who willing to raise your hand and say you don't need no help. Because I'm not going to raise mine. No. Notice Proverbs 18. Remember, you don't want to become sluggish. But we got to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's what we want to do. We want to inherit the promises. What God has ordained, we want it to be so. Listen, in our lives. Listen, church, this is an important word for somebody. We want the will of God to be so concerning our lives, hear me, church, in and outside the church. Did you hear me? In and outside what? The church. I want what God has ordained for me to do outside the church. I want it to be so in my life. I want to walk in it in my life. Do you? In and outside. Noted Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Listen carefully now, because we're talking about that being sluggish. And see, this year, he's ordaining for us to be dogged. Be a dogged church. Notice Proverbs 18 and 9. He who is slothful or sluggish in his work, in his labor, in his or her efforts. Listen what the Proverb writer, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, saving Jesus. Notice what he compares a person who is sluggish or slothful in his work. He is brother to him who is a great destroyer. He who is slothful or sluggish in his work is a brother, listen, is connected, is related to him who is a great destroyer, church, please listen, or a great waster. If you become sluggish, you will be a great waster. Somebody need to hear me tonight. Two things you're going to become a waster at that I want to mention tonight. Number one, remember, he who is slothful in his work, his brother, is connected, is some kin, is related to him who is a great destroyer or a great waster. One of the most precious things a sluggard wastes is time. Time. Tell your neighbor, you wasting what man can't make. Woo, you are wasting time. See, somebody tonight, you need to stop wasting time. Not just wasting your time, but if you're grown, playing around, playing games, being silly, being childish, then you're wasting folk time who connected to you. Because if you ain't going nowhere, and I'm with you, you're not just wasting your time, but you're wasting my time. See, I tell any leader in here, if you ain't serious this year about ministry, if you don't want to be dogged, and you like wasting time, we don't need to be connected this year. Come on. I'm in the close. I know a little bit of this word hurting tonight. Number two, you are a great waster of another precious thing, and that is opportunity. 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 A chance, good God Almighty, to finally get something accomplished. God said, I want you to be dogged this year. I want to give you an opportunity to finally accomplish something that you've been praying about. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to give you the space to do what you asked me. But see, if you're a waster, if you are sluggard, then you're going to waste an opportunity. You asked me to change your life for the better. You asked me to turn your life around. And I'm going to send you not just to a church, but I'm going to send you to the right church. When you get there, don't waste the opportunity that I'm providing. Who's hearing me tonight? Who's hearing me tonight? You remember God so dealt with the sluggard, a sluggish people. Let me show you how powerful God is. That he not only dealt with the sluggard, but how many remember in Proverbs 6, that he sent the sluggard to the ant. See, God has ways, if we'll listen, when we're being a sluggard or being sluggish, he can use things to teach you or to talk to you. Why you think he had me put this in a New Year's Eve message? Because God know he needs to deal with some sluggers who are wasting time, who are wasting opportunity, and sadly, some of you are wasting resources. He said, how long, O sluggard, will you be a sluggard? Go to the ant. Learn from an insect. That means you can be out in the yard being slowful and lazy. And God see you standing right there. And he said, look down. Look at the ant. Look how small he is. But look at how much they accomplish. One thing can be said about an ant. They ain't no sluggards. Come on, somebody. When you watch what a group of ants are able to build and how they, I'm trying to move on. You ain't ever wonder how ants were getting in your house and you went to the corner of a window where they were getting in. So you thought you were smart, went outside, went to the corner of that window, thought that's where they were, but you had to follow, oh, I'm preaching now, a trail back. And couldn't believe how far they traveled from one place just to get in at another place. God said, learn from that. Learn from that. I'm telling somebody in 2025, this ain't the year to be a sluggard. This ain't the year to be caught being lazy and wasting time, opportunity, and resources. I wish you high five two folks and shout, show he right. High five somebody sitting there acting like they ain't listening. Shout, show he right. Notice what he said in 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 15. He said, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be unwavering. Be immovable. When you're immovable, you're fixed or you're rooted. It's time for some of us to get rooted. When you are rooted, you are not easily moved, listen to me, or persuaded by the wrong thing or the wrong person. You've got to get immovable this year, which means being dogged. It's time to be dogged. Always abounding, always being fruitful in the work of the Lord. Listen, church, we right here at this end. Knowing, being knowledgeable that your labor is not in vain. See, that's what I got to know. My labor is not in vain. And since I'm knowledgeable of that, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. I'm going to always abound in the work of the Lord. Let me drop on us our rhema for 2025. Are you ready for a tailor-made word? Oh, y'all didn't sound like it. Y'all ready for a tailor-made word? Look at Hebrews 11 and 6. The clock is ticking, and I am turning. Hebrews 11 and 6. Yeah, I'm finna drop this rhema on the church. And if we receive it, you gonna know this was tailored for me. It's time to be a dogged what? A dogged church. A dogged church, right? Notice Hebrews 11 and 6. Here's the rhema for the church. Here's the rhema. Ooh, here's the reward for being dogged. Hebrews 11 and 6. Drop it on us, Lord. Drop it on us right in time, too. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him or God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently do what? Who diligently do what? Diligence is synonymous with dogged. God says if we are dogged this year, if we are dogged, church, then 2025 will be, don't miss it, the year of rewards. God says if they're dogged, this will be the year of rewards. See, it ain't my job to look and see who happy. Who know that's they rhema? God said you're coming into a year that's going to be the year of rewards. If you believe it, if you don't mind helping me preach it, go to two or three people and tell them this year, this upcoming year, will be the year of rewards. Move out and tell it to somebody that ain't scared. Tell them 2025 is the year of rewards. I need somebody that really believe that. Come on, I'm looking for somebody that really knows that you're about a minute away from coming into a year that is the year of rewards. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him or dog it. Dog it people don't get rewarded this year. And I got some great rewards coming my way. I said I got some rewards coming my way. He didn't let me just cross over just to be crossing over. He said, son, you're crossing over to the year of